We're teaching you how to get your finances in order to start out this new year. You're definitely not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
You are now listening to the Music Business Dreams podcast, brought to you by KDMR Music.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Music Business Dreams podcast. I'm your host, Brandon from KDMR Music, and this is episode 27, the first episode of 2019. I'm super excited about us making it into a new year. Happy New Year to everyone who's listening to this. Before we get into today's guest, I want to just say thank you for making 2018 such a successful year for our company. You guys were with me when I launched my book, the group coaching program that gets underway next week. You guys have supported a lot. We've grown a lot, and I did talk about that on a bonus episode last week, so I won't belabor the point. But thank you guys for rocking with us and trusting us to help you further your music career. And so I wanted to start off 2019 on a really serious note, and just to make sure we are all on the right foot, starting off on the right note, you know, however you want to say that. And today's topic is important to me because it's really the one thing that I think holds back a lot of musicians from living the life of their dreams. And it's about finances. We talked about, you know, the prospects of making money and paying all your bills with music. And all of that starts with being intentional about your finances. And so when you guys hear from today's guest, I hope that this interview gives you some clarity, helps you set some goals for the remainder of the year, and really start off and hit the ground running in 2019. So I'm going to introduce today's guest, whose name is Alec Robinette, right after this quick announcement. At KDMR Music, we're working to raise the next generation of artists, managers, music industry professionals, and entrepreneurs, and give them all the knowledge they need to succeed in today's industry. If you're listening to this show, I already consider you a part of that movement, but I'd love to make it official. You can do that by becoming a member of the Indie Club. You'll get access to exclusive content, a growing network of artists and professionals, and individualized advice via our forums. And the best part about all of this is it's completely free. Just go to kdmr.us/indieclub and request your access today. Let's get back to the show. All right, guys. So we are starting 2019 off on the right foot. And today I've got a special guest. His name is Alec Robinette. Alec is a certified financial planner, and he believes that when artists prosper, they can deliver more of their message to the world. So he founded Elemental Financial to empower musicians to take ownership of their wealth potential through financial planning, coaching, and investment advice. So we're going to talk to Alec. I'm super appreciative to him for coming and sharing with us. We're going to talk to him about how to plan your finances correctly. We're also going to dig into his background and get a feel for why he's working with artists. So Alec, again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Brandon. I'm excited to have the conversation.
No problem, man. So, you know, I like to start out every interview just, you know, with getting some background information on our guest. So, I mean, tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are and how you got started.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I haven't necessarily taken the conventional route to get to where I am, but I'll kind of date it back to my early 20s. Graduated from the University of Michigan with a degree in Egyptology. I've always been good at numbers and math and business, but I did not get into business school. So I turned to a route where my passion led me and just an interest in just religion itself, but also just the ancient religions and histories. And after college, I bounced around quite a few different jobs and professions, see this thread throughout my life. But I was managing a record store, and then decided to drive a cab and got into the restaurant business. And around 2004, started my own business, which was a merchandise and marketing. And did that for about 6 months and traveled the country and pretty much fell on my face and not literally, but the business failed, or at least it failed for me. Mm-hmm. And I found myself back living with my mom, and I had an opportunity to take a position at a financial asset management company, pretty well known, Fidelity Investments, and really just kind of a starting position, and started my life in the financial industry. At the same time, I dabbled in spoken word, and I'd hosted and led some poetry slams while I was in college, and that was kind of the thing that I did, that, you know, kind of my passion. And, you know, kind of where I trace back my story as far as, like, this decision I made, I had the opportunity about 6 months into this start of this new career where I was had a 30-minute kind of full long-form spoken poetry piece I did at the it's called Southgate House in Newport, Kentucky. And the month prior, the month after coming off the stage, I had this, like, calling. I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, I was writing with a fervor. And at the same time, I got promoted where I was working. And I started traveling across the country with my job. And instead of being on stage doing poetry, I was getting in front of audiences and discussing asset allocation and preparing for retirement. And that was the start of this new career. And over, you know, the next 10 years, my notebooks really changed from poetry to studying for, you know, multiple securities exams, the first test of the CFA, coursework for the CFP, and then, you know, eventually the CFP program itself. And, you know, I gained a lot of experience. I financially put myself in a better position over 10 years of working in corporate wealth management. But I definitely felt like I lost a little bit of myself. Mm-hmm. And my exit was really the birth of my first son, which I was just on my job had me on the road all the time. And that was not something that I was going to allow myself to do, leaving on a Sunday evening and returning on a Friday afternoon and not seeing, you know, my son grow. So I really kind of, once I knew that we were expecting, I got into a fierce planning mode myself of what could this look like living off of my wife's salary. And, you know, as far as can I, you know, I don't know that I was thinking about being a stay-at-home dad, but can I kind of, you know, transition out of what I'm doing, or, you know, if I need to take time to figure things out. But I made the decision. I took a leave from work and became, you know, then resigned and became a stay-at-home dad. And during the leave, I started to hash out my plan for building a financial planning company and wanting to be able to make it accessible, make financial planning accessible to younger generations, and not just the people that have wealth, but that people are in the beginning stages of their careers and are, you know, trying to just make ends meet, but also, you know, attaining wealth themselves. And this idea and this beginning of kind of putting this plan in place, we were living in Nashville, Tennessee. So we have, you know, Music City, and the conversations I've had, the market research that I was doing kept leading to the same conversation. And it wasn't necessarily, hey, we're ready for investment management, but we have all these, you know, similar challenges, mainly being cash flow, variable income, complex tax planning situations, and really, how do I do what I love and also being financially secure? So that was, for me, it was the light bulb that went off of, you know, kind of making my decision 10 years prior to go a certain route for my own financial security. Mm-hmm. Having a brother, he's 2 years older than me, and he's an artist, he's, you know, a musician, and, you know, and being able to see firsthand, you know, the struggles that he's kind of had throughout many years of just kind of tying his artistry, his creativeness, and money, you know, all together. So, yeah, this was just, you know, about the beginning of, all right, this is what I need to be doing. As you mentioned, I believe when artists prosper, they can get more of their message in the world, and that's what my goal is, to help, you know, musicians, creatives of any type, just get their message out there. And I feel that financial security is oftentimes that something that leads them in another direction. So that's where I'm trying to help.
Definitely. Yeah. And we spoke offline when we were preparing to do this interview. And I was telling you how I feel like financial planning is a really important aspect of what musicians do. But it's one of those things that we don't talk about a lot. And I don't know if it's just that, you know, people are, you know, ignorant to what's out there. And, you know, a lot of, I guess a bigger issue is a lot of musicians don't necessarily know how the industry works. So if you don't know how you're getting paid, you can't necessarily plan what you're going to do with that paycheck, you know. But what was it about the struggle of a musician or a creative that really drew you into helping with that?
I think for me I grew up listening to hip hop. And, you know, so, you know, through hip hop, let's, you know, there's a constant, you know, throughout 30 years of me listening, for me, understanding struggle that I wouldn't necessarily understand otherwise. And I say that from, you know, being a white male growing up in a suburban middle-class home, it allowed me to hear storytelling and struggle, and not necessarily to then reflect it on my life, but at least to understand.
Right.
So this was for me, like, okay, you know, 30 years of it, and, you know, I'll trace it back to KRS-One and Chuck D as being some of my idols when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And so it's that, right? It's that as far as, like, how the impact that that's had on my life, on who I am, my philosophy, things that have steered me through my life, coming from a messenger, right, that I was getting via, at the time, let's say, Yo MTV Raps, but that now in 2018, you know, it's a whole different landscape. But
right.
How can I help the next person be that messenger to another 10-year-old kid?
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I remember when, because I started out rapping as well, but the turning point for me came with my first internship. I was able to work for a producer named Ninth Wonder and his label as they were kind of just picking up steam. But I remember the day I decided to apply for the internship, I actually went to a show in Greensboro that they had put on, and it was just an amazing show. Their flagship artist is a woman named Rhapsody. And I just remember, I mean, I'd been a fan of hers already, but, like, seeing her perform live got me so excited. I bought merchandise. I bought a CD. And, you know, at the time they were giving out all their music for free anyway. So me as a fan being affected, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, if they got me so excited, I paid for something that I already had for free, then, you know, I want to be involved. I want to figure out how I can help, you know, spread this. Like, everyone needs to hear this person. So I think it's interesting that you're like, you know, you've got a similar story where it's like, look, I want to help as many other people get their message out because the message helped me as an individual.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I got the chance to meet KRS-One this year. And, you know, told him, and this, you know, I've somehow gotten to this point, but along the way, I often can, his message was there, whether it's for me to decide to study Egyptology. I'm not saying, like, you know, that was the sole reason, but if I look back at, listen to his edutainment album, when it has Black Man in Effect, and he talks about Egypt, right? Like, those were messages that I was getting at 10, 11 years old. And then when I was 20, was making a decision of, like, studying it deeper. And
right.
And this is my way of, hey, this is, I want to be able to give back. You know, I'm not trying to pursue a career in rap. I'm not trying to pursue necessarily a career in spoken word. I, you know, we'll go out there and dabble in it. But it's how can I help someone else? That is, and my experience of 10 years working in finance and deciding, hey, I want to be able to, and build that craft, and then I can use that craft to help someone else with theirs.
Got you. And so as a financial planner, and working directly with musicians, what are some of the things that you help artists put into place?
So, yeah, I mean, it varies. Just like any artist and where they are in their life, any person where they are in their finances is very different. So anywhere from the challenge of, credit repair and debt management to investment management. And along those lines, where I start with everyone is we have to handle and get control over cash flow. Along with setting goals, but as far as we'll explore, pretty heavily into life goals, financial goals, personal, professional goals. But we always usually have to step back and what are you doing in terms of a tool to track where your spending is going, how much is coming in, how much is going out. And so that's where we start, is just setting some type of tool to track where we can analyze what your difference is in income and expenses so that we can then decide what's appropriate for goals. Currently today's the 15th of December. So if you're buying health insurance, this is, today you've got to get, on the ACA policy. So I've been dealing with that a lot this week to help people just kind of, what's available? Does this make sense? What are the new laws in terms of, tax consequences, things like that. And then a lot of times it's a matter of work-life balance. Right? So I think pretty much everyone that I, from an artist and musician standpoint that I work with is trying to figure out, a lot of times have a full-time job. And then the music is on the side, but trying to, on in their own life, but in their finances, how can we go from spending more time in the creative side of my life, or the music side of my life, and so building a plan that can see themselves maybe taking less income from whether it's a 9-to-5 or a part-time job, and then building up revenue on this side and being able to know kind of when's a good time to make the leap, or just be able to to juggle it and know that they can make a living off of what they're doing and build some financial security.
Got you. So you're really involved from, I wouldn't say necessarily the beginning, but kind of those beginning stages, helping them clean up what they've got going on and put a real concrete plan together, to eventually make that leap to full-time artistry.
Yeah. And not to say that everyone wants that, but that's, I feel that eventually becomes the conversation.
Gotcha.
But I'll dig in to find out where they are in terms of kind of, they're exploring the depths of their dreams and, what their personal and professional why is, which can help us craft some goals. But then the how normally starts with digging into the cash flow. For me, there's two things that, I feel like from just a simple financial starting package, let's say, is understanding cash flow and net worth. Those are the two things that, I don't want to say that the only things that matter, but I look at cash flow as like the flow of water. It's your life force.
Right.
Whether whatever your relationship with is money, we can't deny that. Right.
And right.
Whether, whatever we want to deem as cash, right. Cause I rarely have cash. So it's a word that I use, but, I think the concept is understood. And then in net worth, I look at as far as if the cash flow is water, Mm-hmm. Where's my buoyancy? And, you know, what, where are you? Is it somewhere you're sinking because you've taken on too much debt and you're just having a hard time bringing in more money than what's going out?
Right. And see, I'm curious to know, as you guys are helping to establish those initial cash flow budgets and putting things on paper for maybe the first time, what are some of the things that you see that maybe are surprising to someone on the outside, but are common? Like you see, for example, I know a lot of artists will spend money on Facebook ads, but they don't have a product to sell. Like, are there trends that you see where artists are negative on things because they just didn't take steps to plan for it?
Well, I would say, and this comes back to another thing that I hone in on, mm-hmm. is separating your personal and your business. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, I can't say that, you know, there's probably 50-50 as far as when I get into the conversation of, oh, you know, everyone knows that they should be doing it, but if they're actually doing it is another case. And right. because there's some steps that go, you know, get involved with that. Some step is, you know, well, what am I as far as, you know, the Jay-Z lyrics, you know, I'm not a businessman, but I'm a businessman.
Right.
And, but what is the entity, right? And as far as your artistry is a business, are you a sole proprietor? Is it LLC? You know, what is it, you know, corporate? And that gets in the way of where I can just have Alec Robinette checking account for my personal, well, let's say a joint checking account for my personal stuff, and then an Alec Robinette, you know, individual checking account for everything that's happening in my business. Mm-hmm. You know, and but we think that, oh, I need to have like this business account, but it's just the simple task of having another account where business revenue and expenses come in and out of. Mm-hmm. Helps from a, again, more of a, the tracking, the monitoring of right. where is my money going? Because if I'm spending money on Facebook ads and it's coming from the same account that, you know, I need to go get groceries from and, you know, pay my rent from, then it, you know, it leads to this much more complex situation of having to tackle the actual, you know, work of tracking where it's going.
Right.
So, yeah, that's something that I just, I harp on. You know.
Yeah, and I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, for example, like on the personal side and on the business side as well, but for most artists, this won't be a factor. But on the personal side, you've got credit, you know. So it's easy for you to, I guess, spend more than you have because you put it on a credit card. You might think about it later. But on the business side, starting out, you know, may not necessarily be eligible for business credit, you know, in the traditional sense. Now, of course, you can just take out another personal credit card to use it for business. But let's say you're not doing that, right? You know, then it's a lot easier to say, okay, I have $200 in my business checking account. So once that $200 is gone, I can't spend any more money. And that keeps you out of so many different financial disasters where you're not spending your rent money because your rent money wasn't in the account to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then have, you know, setting up a plan of, you know, if your goal is, you know, I need to, you know, I need growth out of my business, mm-hmm. then part of one of your personal goals would be how do I keep funding the $200 a month? Mm-hmm. into that business checking account so that I can, you know, continue to market and then, you know, allow the growth to happen.
Right. So let's talk for a second about just the importance of a written budget. I personally, I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey and, you know, the baby steps, where you get the emergency fund in place, then you pay off your credit card debt and so on and so forth until you're a millionaire in retirement. But I think one of the biggest things that he harps on is just, okay, let's start out with just a budget and say how much money is coming in, how much is going out. And that sounds like a lot like how you start as well, just controlling that cash flow. But how do you convey the importance of following a written budget to an artist or someone that you're consulting with?
It's something that the conveying is often, in terms of what I do from a coaching standpoint, is being, the person that they have to talk to, let's say especially at the beginning, a weekly, biweekly or monthly basis. So I'm their accountability partner with that. Where I start is the question of what are we using? If you're not using anything, I use Mint, so that's something that I will tend to gravitate toward recommending, mint.com. And the reason I do that, I have like some tools that I can do it, with my clients where I get to see more of it. But I always, if 6 months down the road and they've gotten what they need and they want to move on from our relationship, I want to make sure that they still have that tool, right? So it's not something that's just like tied to working with me. I want them to be able to, all right, we've mastered what we're doing with building that budget. And Mint is something that it's not pen and paper. It has, some capabilities to where it takes some of the manual aspect out of it. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it. It doesn't do it all for you. Like it does some of it because you can tie your accounts to it to where those transactions pull in. It'll start to automatically understand that, a purchase here and there is going to be categorized into that budget bucket. When someone struggles with that, if they struggle with doing that part of it, then we have to go back to I have to use my coaching ability to find out what will work better for them. And if we need to get into the real nitty gritty of we need this, is the pen and paper or the Excel spreadsheet where you're going to, track everything. But the ultimate purpose of it is, it is so difficult to set a goal, a monetary financial goal, without knowing whether the money is available.
Right.
And, when I see that happen, it gets peeled back. So if I'm gonna, if I say, okay, I want to start saving, $300 a month to my emergency fund, and we do that for 3 or 4 months, but we don't, if we don't know that the $300 is available, then come this time of the year, especially, that money gets pulled back out,
right?
And it gets spent because we've been putting that away, but we've actually, been going in the hole $200 a month and that money really wasn't available for us to save, and now we're pulling it back out to use either to pay off a credit card bill or because in this time of year we tend to spend more money.
Right.
I feel that without the budget in place, stating a smart goal of I'm going to save X amount of dollars is near impossible because we don't have any control of understanding it. Whether that money is there and available to put towards the business, save towards the emergency fund, pay off more debt, save for retirement or for investing.
So. Right.
And one of the things you touched on in the beginning is, a challenge of being a musician is variable income. You've got income coming in from a variety of sources. I think the numbers, there's 42 known revenue streams in the music industry, depending on how involved you want to be in all of them. You have some people who may perform live shows for money. Some people are getting Spotify checks. Some people are actually selling physical CDs and merchandise and things like that. I say all that to say, a lot of times no two artists are alike and no 2 months look alike. How do you help manage that ebb and flow while consistently working towards these financial goals with these artists?
Yeah. So it comes back to the budget. So I'm going to kind of dive back in of how then I use Mint. And sometimes we need 6 months or a year of good data to be able to get the full picture. Yeah. I mean, really a year of good data to say, what was the income and what were your expenses? let's say I'm going to use $3,000. Let's say your monthly expenses are $3,000, but your income is all over the place. So 1 month you have $6,000, next month you have $1,500. You know, but you know you need $3,000 that's going out every month.
Right.
If we just look at 2 months, it's it's really impossible to say, okay, this is, you know, what it's going to look like. So a year, I feel it gives us, you know, year or more, you know, ideally, it gives us a pretty full picture of what the monthly income stream looks like. And then I look at taking, let's say, the lowest income. So let's say like the 2 or 3 months of lowest income and averaging those. So let's say you had $1,500 and $6,000. So I'm just going to use those as examples. So $3,750 is what your average. Let's say that's the lowest average income.
Right.
And that's what you use as your budget. So even though like the next month you might have $10,000, you're going to have a month that maybe is like a larger end.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to. We can't budget for that because we know that's the anomaly.
Right.
So we need to go back and say, well, what's the 2 or 3 months where my income is at its lowest, and I try to form our budget into that, where everything that's, you know, our big months, then we can save, put back into the business, and ideally have, you know, a nice, you know, for me, it's like, as you mentioned, the emergency fund is the big one, you know, because we may have months where it is less than that. Or obviously an emergency where we need to tap into having some available funds so it doesn't, you know, break what we're trying to do.
Okay. And so then once you've gotten that cash flow kind of figured out, you guys are, you know, you've got the budget in place. They're sticking to it, which is obviously the hardest part about all this. But then you can start looking toward the future and other financial goals, and that's when the investment planning comes in. What are some caveats around investing that you'd like to make sure artists are aware of?
I would say when we get into investment advice, I sit in a little bit of a different world of most investment advisors. Saying that, as far as like, someone that works for Edward Jones or Morgan Stanley or Merrill Lynch of the world, that their ultimate goal, as far as if they're going to work with their client, is they're going to invest in the market. Mm-hmm. That's really the only option that they provide. They sell a product, right? Either selling life insurance, selling a mutual fund, and investing, you know, into the stock and bond market. I do that. At the same time, you know, my take is that I'm a fee-only, you know, financial planner, meaning that I charge a fee, we dig in deep, and if the investment is in your music or in your business, then we're going to explore what that looks like. Or if you're interested in investing in a piece of real estate, well, we can explore what that looks like. Or I don't want to say it's basic, but as far as investing in the market that we may, you know, most people are maybe more accustomed to because we have investments either through a 401k or we just hear more about it through media. We can do that, but it's a matter of what are we trying to accomplish, right? Everything needs to be attached to a goal. So why would we just start putting money in the market if we're not sure what we're trying to do? And where I, you know, as far as like the conversation sometime will be, what's the time horizon? You know, if your time horizon is I want to make a lot of money in an investment for the next 5 years, you know, and then use it in 5 years time frame to, let's say, buy a house or put down as a house, you know, down payment on a house, then, you know, going into the stock market isn't necessarily maybe the best route for us. If the time horizon is, you know, I'm 30 years, I want to be able to like travel more, or 20 years, be able to travel more. And, you know, then okay, well, we can, you know, maybe investing in the stock market makes a little more sense in terms of our ability to take on the risk of the ebb and flow of the market. That I can't tell you what it's going to do tomorrow. Can't tell you what it's going to do in 10 years. You know, that's something where I trust in it. Therefore, I invest in it. In terms of if you look back historically, or I want to say what my time horizon is out in the future, then there's an ability for me to be comfortable with the amount of risk that I'm taking depending on my time horizon. But the last couple months, as far as the market itself, and talking about the stock market, has been maybe for some people very uncomfortable, because we've gotten into this pattern of the market has steadily gone up for the last couple of years. And that's where, depending on what your situation is, what your goal is, how long we need to be invested for, that those are the things that we need to explore first.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because the market goes up and down, and if you're more of a short-term person, maybe if you were planning on selling today, it's not fun for you right now, but if you're playing the long game, prospects could be greater, or perhaps you're just not worried about it because you weren't planning on touching those funds anyway.
Right. Okay. The other thing I'll say is, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I probably should say it is. If it sounds too good to be true, yeah, it is.
Definitely. And I mean, we talk about it a lot with athletes. And I think, athletes are kind of the target of predators. Musicians also, because, for a lot of them are coming from underprivileged backgrounds. And then 2 days later, they have an NBA contract and millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right. And so someone comes up to you out of the shadows and says, "Hey, I'm wearing a nice suit and I've got a business opportunity for you. Give me $500,000 and I'll make sure it turns into 10,000 or 10 million next year." Right. Like, you should probably be like, "Hey, well, what's going on with this guy?"
Yeah. I mean, I'll have conversations where, there's a certain excitement of how much money, I can make if I give you X amount of dollars. And I have to bring it down to actually, if we're going to invest, it's going to be a little bit more boring than what you think. And
right.
As far as just my philosophy and how to invest and being, well diversified. And as I mentioned, based off of your risk tolerance and your longevity. And the conversation, what's the thing? I can't give you the thing to invest in. If I did, that'd be great, but I don't have that answer. I sometimes have to bring it down. If we're going to invest, it's not going to be that exciting. It's really based off of how do we get to that goal and have a tool that, historically has given us a better return than just sitting in your bank account.
Right. Right. And I think there's a difference between traditional investing, like you're talking about, and I guess like this new craze of venture capital and like the Silicon Valley, culture, where it's like, all right, let me find the thing that's bubbling under right now and that's going to blow up in 3 years, And I don't know if it's just TV or what it is that's got everyone excited in that way, on these get rich quick schemes, or maybe it's just human nature. Maybe we've always been that way.
Yeah, I think I would say it is human nature. I think it's just, it shifts, right? So 10 years ago it was housing. And, or 10 plus years ago, it was housing, and it shifts, and it's, 10 years is going to be something else. Last year, this time of year, it was cryptocurrency. And, I'm not saying that conversation has gone away, but if that conversation was a lot more talked about a year ago.
Right.
Because of the phenom of what some people were able to make in a 12-month period, or what they were able to make on digital paper.
Right. Yeah, I bought a dollar worth of Bitcoin back when the Cash App started allowing those transactions. just to see what it would do. And it rose. I think at the highest, it was like $1.60 worth of Bitcoin is what I ended up with. And then it dropped pretty significantly, pretty quickly. And so I sold it for 95 cents. So I lost a nickel on Bitcoin over like 8 months.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, some people, you know, to that point are just like, they put in hundreds, thousands of dollars. Like, all right, this is it. And I hate to see where some of those people are now.
Yeah, it's really, I was unfortunate from an aspect of the way I've seen my industry, where heavily regulated, you know, need to, you know, kind of jump through all these hoops to be tested, and you know, compliance is heavy. And then seeing, just, you know, coming back to just thinking about like what I was seeing on social media and YouTube, and, you know, a year ago, not so much now, it's kind of that, you know, it's the conversation has slowed down, but all of this investment advice, right, which really, you know, I think, yeah, put people into a predicament that is probably unfortunate at this point. Not everyone, I'm sure there's plenty of great stories that occurred, but oh yeah, it was a little just bothersome from anyone could go on there. And you know, I think some in the music industry as well, as far as, you know, like where do we get our advice, and and then, you know, what makes people, you know, their psyche change and like make a decision based off of advice,
and right.
when it's too good to be true. Well, it's hard not to, you know, it's also hard for people not to say, I'm doing it.
Right.
I'm getting in that. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's the same type of mindset that keeps people playing the lottery.
Right.
You know, and so this has been a great conversation. And I think just going through some of the talking points that we've discussed today, it's very easy to see why it's important to have a financial planner, especially when you're in an industry that's as unpredictable as music can be. You know, we've gone through so many changes. You know, 5 years ago, people were still making a decent amount of money from digital downloads of music. And now that's gone away in favor of streaming revenues. And those revenues aren't quite the same, you know. So there's people now who are not as financially stable as they were 2, 3, 4 years ago, maybe even 6 months ago. And so I think it's really important to have someone who can look over your shoulder and say, hey, let's take this into account. Let's consider this and move forward in a logical but meaningful way. But some people, especially those in my audience, may not be at the point where they're ready to pay a fee for advice. Are there resources, maybe books or podcasts, that you would send someone to just starting out?
Yeah. Well, let's see. As far as books, there's a lot of different books. One that I like, as far as just a starting out point, and this kind of, I think, really focuses on our society as a whole, is The Millionaire Next Door. The concentration of the book is what we think wealth looks like.
Right.
And that a lot of times that, you know, what someone looks like on the outside or what they're wearing or driving isn't necessarily wealth. And that, you know,
Thomas Stanley, right?
I'm looking at my bookshelf and it's not there. It's one that I tend to give out quite a bit, but that sounds right. Oh yeah. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, Thomas Stanley, William Danko.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, that's fine. You know, I mean, I feel like we're at a point where there's so much information. You know, that can be quite a challenge. Another book, as far as just like I would say like investing, you know, A Random Walk Down Wall Street is something where kind of this idea of when it comes to picking stocks that, sometimes it's as random as just throwing a dart at the dartboard. So that's something where it just kind of gives you an idea of, you know, for me, you know, that what matters most, I think, especially as someone's beginning to kind of take ownership of their money and their wealth, is not necessarily an investment return, but it's their percentage of savings that they're able to put away.
Gotcha.
You know, so, you know, if you have $100 and your return is 7%, you now have 107, but versus if, let's say, you're making $50,000 and you're able to save 20% of that, then we're talking $10,000 difference, right?
Right.
So yeah, just from the what can you do standpoint is, you know, if we're trying to build, it's really a matter of your ability to save. What your savings percentage is matters a lot more than your investment return percentage.
Got you. Yeah, they say it's not about what you make; it's about what you keep.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's a lot easier to keep what you have than it is to make more. Right. You know, I was going over some finances with my wife. We were talking about buying a house. And so we're looking at the market. We're looking at, you know, what we make in our jobs. And it's like, okay, to be honest, in the next 3-4 years, when we're considering buying a home, it's not like our income's going to rise that much. Really, the quickest path to, you know, being able to do this is to just put more money away from what we already make. Because, I mean, it's a lot easier to say, what can I cut from my budget, than it is to say, what line of work can I go into and make an extra $10,000?
Yeah, and a lot of times, I mean, the importance of budget is knowing, to me, right? And sometimes I don't like using budget, but, like, you know, having the ability to say, okay, with what I'm making, this is how I get to choose where my money goes.
Right.
But as far as a lot of times when I, you know, work with someone and we get into, you know, the line item, sometimes there's just not a lot more you can squeeze, you know,
right.
And then it's, well, if we're going to, you know, start to work on these goals, then we've got to find another stream of revenue. We've got to try and find some more income to get it.
Definitely. So we've got The Millionaire Next Door and A Random Walk Down Wall Street. Are there any podcasts or YouTubers that you like to follow?
Let's see. Podcasters, there's one called Animal Spirits, which is probably more into – it's probably followed more by investment professionals or financial planners. There's nothing on YouTube that I usually – check out Animal Spirits, Ben Carlson and Michael Batnick. I think anyone can understand it. And it's, right. You know, it's good information. They dive pretty deep into maybe specific things that, you know, the financial planning world or investment management world is focusing on that week. But they're entertaining and, I think it's pretty good.
Cool. And so for those who are ready to take that next step, you know, whether it's just because they have the finances to do so or, you know, they really want that extra eye, you know, they felt like if you could do it all yourself, you would. Right. But some people do need, you know, a coach, someone to assist them. So for those who are willing to take that step, how can they get in contact with you to work with you?
Yeah. So I offer 30 minute, you know, basically a free consultation, and you can go to elementalfinancial.com. So that's the website, and right on the front page there should be, you know, a little link that says, you know, book a 30-minute consultation, which will take you to my scheduler, and we can have a conversation. You know, social media, I'm on, you know, Twitter and Instagram at Alec J. Robinette. That's A-L-E-C J and Robinette, Robinette. And then Facebook, there's Elemental Financial on Facebook as well.
Okay. Cool. So I'm going to link to his website and all his social media in the show notes, guys. Again, we've been talking about this, and, you know, I think financial planning can be a boring conversation if your heart's not in the right place, right? But, you know, as we're starting 2019, and, you know, today is January 2nd, if you listen to this when it goes live, you know, so we're starting this year with the goal of, okay, how do we expand our business? How do we expand our reach? How do we find more fans and grow our audience and things like that? You know, a lot of those things are going to be financial. You know, there's going to be times you're going to have to pay a PR agent. You're going to have to pay for advertising. You may have to pay a graphic designer. There's a lot of expenses that can arise, you know, on this journey. And so if you don't have a plan for what you're doing with your money, it's very easy to, one, get burnt out because you feel like you're spending it all over the place. But then it's also just easy to become, you know, insolvent. You know, you can't spend money you don't have. But, you know, we've got credit cards and all that. So it's easy to go into debt and just end up way worse off than you would have if you started the year with a plan financially. And that way you can at least say, hey, I've deviated from the plan a little bit. Let's get back on track. So please take advantage of Alex's consultation. He's got a free 30-minute consultation. And if, you know, things go well with you guys, I encourage you to continue the relationship because it's only going to benefit you. And Alex, you still there?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay, cool. So, well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with our audience today. And I'm really excited that we've now gotten to know each other a little bit. And I am excited to work with you and find ways that we can align ourselves in the future.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon. I appreciate it. It's been great.
All right, guys. So there you have it. I hope that conversation gave you some insight and some clarity on how to get your finances in order so that you can really build the career of your dreams. Now, again, finances or getting your finances in order is so important because it's going to take profit to grow your career. I mean, we all love making music and we love, you know, the appearance of being successful, whether that's, you know, having nice graphic design work, having somebody take cool pictures at our shows. All those things are great. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be excited about those things. But if you're constantly spending more money than you're making, you're never going to be able to quit your job or take your career to the next level. So I hope that you really take that conversation to heart. If you need to, go back and listen again and take notes. And again, I'm going to leave all of Alex's information in the show notes. And we've got some things in the works that we're planning for the future. And so there's going to be a lot more help coming for you in 2019. So until next week, thanks again for listening to the show, and I'll see you soon. Peace.